Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Has the way that love has arisen in you seemed out of place or even taboo? My mission is to expand the conversation of love in the world. Is it possible to have deep, loving, healthy relationships? Have you ever been curious about having more than one relationship or partner at a time? Get ready to transform in love. Be courageous and set yourself free. In this show, we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. I shed light on things that are not always talked about with conversations about expanding love. The Elizabeth Cunningham Show starts now.
Elizabeth Cunningham Yay. Show. I am your host, Elizabeth Cunningham. And today we have the pleasure, the absolute pleasure of having Rebecca Miner here. And we are going to be talking about gender and love and gender. And before I have Rebecca speak, I'm just going to introduce you really quick. So Rebecca is has a MSW and LICSW. There we go. Is queer Jewish consultant and clinician specializing in the intersection of trauma, gender, and sexuality. And as a gender specialist, Rebecca partners with trans and gender nonconforming youth through their journey of becoming, and is a guide to their parents in affirming that. Rebecca believes in the importance of embracing human diversity and is passionate about partnering with people to cultivate the self-compassion necessary to heal shame, dismantle binaries, and invite opportunities for growth and lasting change. Rebecca is an adjunct professor at Boston University School of Social Work and a member of the alumni board. For the last decade, Rebecca has provided cultural responsiveness training and consultation to organizations, schools, and businesses. Woman after my own heart, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for reading that long bio.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I was so excited. I read it a couple times before you came on the show because I was
it's kind of
like,
wild having it reflected back. You know, I'm like, oh, wow, she did that.
I'm like, yeah. I am awesome. Yeah, totally.
So thank you.
You're welcome. You know, I really like to start off the show and like, you know, lift everybody's spirits, right?
Yes, I'm feeling it. Yeah.
Beautiful. Because we are going to talk about some heavier topics. I think with gender, you know, I also have a background in studying gender as well. And I think with gender, one of my just like general curiosities is like, why is gender such a big deal? You know, why is gender such a big deal?
Listen, how much time do we have? That wasn't even a question. Okay.
Yeah. No, but I mean, gender, obviously, like it doesn't, you know, regardless of people's opinions about gender, it is a really prevalent topic right now. I mean, so much is happening, especially with youth and gender in our country. And so for those people who don't know, which if you don't know, I don't know where you've been, but if you don't know, Rebecca, why is this topic so important for us to be talking about right now?
Good question. So there are a couple hundred bills out right now across the U.S. that are anti-LGBTQ plus, and there are a little over 100 that are specifically targeted at trans youth. And so while you may have heard little bits about Texas or the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida, which by the way, also includes talking about transness, gender, and sexuality across the board, there are issues like that going on in most states across the US right now, which is truly terrifying. And Like there are places where they're trying to pass bills to make what I do for work illegal. It would be considered a felony and there would be massive fines and jail time. So we're really at a point which is like, it's a wild place to be, but where not only are people trying to outlaw gender affirming care, then they're also trying to stop the people who provide it in the first place. So yeah, you know, and then there's all the sports and everyone has a lot of feelings about sports. So it's getting a lot of attention from audiences who don't necessarily have the adequate information or education to really be having critical conversations about gender. And instead, a lot of transphobia is just getting spewed and spun out. So yeah, it's a pretty intense time.
It is a really intense time. So kind of starting at the, in the most simplest place, which is, you know, what is gender? I kind of like to start off with, and I know that that's a huge question, but for some people, it's like, it's not even a question because it's like, you're either a man or a woman. What do you mean? What is gender?
Right, right.
Like, so if someone were in that camp of like, well, gender is just you're a man or a woman, like, why are we even having this conversation? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, how would you respond, or like, what would you say that gender is?
So first I would start by saying that makes a lot of sense that that person feels that way, because it's probably what they've been socialized to believe and what they've been exposed to. And unfortunately, what they've been exposed to are a really limiting construct around the binary of gender. So meaning the binary being male and female, that they haven't ever been given the possibility or the idea that there could be anything other than those two polarities, that perhaps there are things between, above, outside of. When we move away from the binary entirely, that can be very scary to people, because gender is one of the kind of first things we start to identify in ourselves and others very early in life, by age 3. And so it's when we try to tell people, no, there's more than two, it's like, what? This is like, hang on. What, right. You know?
It's kind of like upending someone's reality.
It's very destabilizing. And I think like many of the topics that you talk about, there, right? It's like, there are a lot of assumptions around what things are supposed to look like. And so in the same way that people are raised in a very like mononormative society, we're also raised with a lot of beliefs around gender, then that there are only two options. So gender, to answer your question in an incredibly long way, welcome to me live.
I love it,
Gender, I mean, I struggle with the definition of gender. I often revert to giving people the definition of gender identity, because that I feel like we can kind of quantify in a different way, that it's like one's internal sense of their gender identity. And that can present in the world in a number of different ways, whether that's through their gender expression or, you know, presentation in some way, or if that's just an internal lived experience for them. But gender itself, I'm sitting with more and more as a concept that becomes really challenging to define when we try to move away from the binary. And so how do you create a definition to a word that doesn't inherently lean on the thing that I believe we need to get away from?
Right.
So there.
And there.
Just a quick little definition. Yeah.
Well, but I think that that's a really great place to start, is, you know, how people identify, because that's also, again, you know, with the misunderstandings of what gender is, with the climate of our culture, and all of the bills and just politicized nature and like the real impact that it has on individuals. I think talking about gender as far as like your gender identity is a really important place to start, because then we're actually like, you know, the humans,
you know, right. Remember them.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, the actual all of us. Humans. Yeah. The actual humans that have lived experiences that are different than yours, but are still valid.
Well, and also we all have a gender.
Right.
Right. So like everybody gets all like, ooh, about people who are trans, but the reality is like everyone has a gender identity. So this is relevant to anyone and everyone. You know,
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's one of those things where, like you said, you know, we form this identity when we're 3 years old. And so then when you form, you know, a belief when you're 3 years old about yourself, it becomes like the air that you breathe. You know, you don't think about it anymore unless you are, you know, someone who is a trans youth where it's like, wait, this isn't the air that I breathe, though. Like, this isn't, there's something here that isn't, doesn't match, that I can't put my finger on, that I don't have language for, that, but I think that I'm, you know, and I think what comes up, and I don't want to steal your thunder because we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about more, you know.
I'm happy to have other people talk about trans youth too. I mean, that's not like I'm the only one that.
You're the only one, Rebecca.
I don't want to be the only one. I'm like, come on. Come on down.
But yeah, but I do want to get into, you know, what are some of the struggles that kids face with gender and with being gender queer, but we are coming up on a break. And so we're going to go on break. And then, but when we come back, I really want to, like we were just talking about, get into the actual people, the actual humans that are facing this, that have struggles that, you know, you help and you serve. So when we come back from break, that's exactly what we're going to talk about.
Perfect.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to the Sacred Attunement Show with Asher Countryman, unlocking the power of mind, body, soul abundance. Tune in every first and third Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Asher as she guides you to sacred attunement. Align your mindset and your actions to master your life's purpose. Discover more at sacredattunement.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And we are here with Rebecca Miner, who is a gender specialist. And what we talked about in the first segment is, you know, what is gender? Why is gender so important to talk about? What is going on in our country as far as gender goes? But I really want to get into the as-lived experience, and especially since, Rebecca, you work with youth. So really, what are some of the struggles that kids face with gender and being queer?
Can we narrow that down a little bit?
Sure, yes.
So like they specifically the kids I work with, how old are we talking?
Yeah.
I'll talk for a year if you give me that question.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Let's reel it in. What is the age range of kids that you do work with?
So great question. So I work primarily, with 12-year-olds and up. I have some young adult clients and a few adult clients, but for the most part, my clients are in middle and high school, some in college.
Okay. So middle and high school. So yeah. What are some of, would it help to narrow down either middle school or high school, or could you talk about middle school and high school both?
I can handle that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So what are some of the kids that what are some of the struggles that kids in like the middle school, high school age range face?
So
yeah.
I think the number one thing to think about is that they face all of the same struggles as anyone else that age, but often with the levels turned up. Right. So like while lots of people are going through the awkwardness of puberty, my clients are also going through the experience of having their body develop in a way that feels different than is out of alignment with their identity. And so there are challenges that come with that. There's the dysphoric experience of feeling kind of disconnected from the body. There's the challenges around either being misgendered at school, not use the right pronouns, not having a bathroom. I mean, I run a group for trans adolescents, and last night bathrooms came up as it often does. And I was like, how many of you actually use the bathroom at school? And none of them said yes. They were like, only if it's an emergency. And this is why the trans population has such a high level of bladder infections, because people are literally holding it so that they don't have to deal with the messiness of going in and out of gendered spaces, or oftentimes at a school, it's like, oh, well, you can use the staff bathroom that's on the fourth floor all the way in the back. So it's like, okay, I've got to figure out like when between classes I can get all the way up there and back, yada, yada. These are kind of day-to-day things that I think become over time just really like wear someone down. I want to also name that a lot of the clients who I work with have a good amount of privilege and live in settings where they have a decent amount of support. So there are a lot of challenges that queer and trans youth experience that I'm not necessarily speaking to right now. And I don't want anyone to see that as like limited in any way, that all experiences are valid. but yeah, I think things around being misgendered, dating is a real tricky situation. That's where sometimes poly stuff comes up with clients, which is really cool to see young people just being like, oh yeah, this is a thing, like not a big deal. And I'm like, oh cool, okay.
I love that.
It's so wild. Yeah, one time, this is a tangent, but I had a client be like, yeah, I'm doing a group project with my polycule, and I was like, this is wild to me. Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That just made my whole day, week, month. I
need to write
that down.
That's why I was like, should I tangent? And I was like, she's going to love it though.
Your inclination was correct.
So yeah, I mean, there are all those challenges. Obviously family acceptance is a huge piece. We know that when queer and trans youth have family support, they do so, so, so much better in every area of functioning. And rates of suicidality are pretty much cut in half. So that's notable. So there are, I mean, there are the mental health challenges that come with trying to move through the world when there's so much going on around them that is not in support of who they are. I mean, politically right now, it's really hard not to, and a lot of my clients avoid the news entirely, which is sad, right? Because then it means like they're not engaging and understanding so many other things that are going on, which is like, but it's a way to protect themselves. And I completely understand it and support them in that like, it's too hard to hear repeatedly day after day that there are like groups of people and people investing time and money and resources into ensuring that you won't have rights.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's huge. Yeah.
So there's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a lot, especially, you know, if, I mean, all of us can think back on when we were in middle school and high school and the struggle of just being a middle schooler, period. Right?
Hard stop.
Yes. The struggle of being a middle schooler, period, hard stop.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, adding on top of the fact that you don't, like, you are trying to find this, like, how do you fit in? Because that's kind of the question, right? When you're that age is like, how do I fit in? Yeah. And then you have all of this evidence out here of like, well, I guess I don't. And also people literally hate me so much that they are, as you said, spending time, money, energy, resources into making sure that people like me don't have rights. Like,
yeah,
I can't even imagine. So, but as you said, you know, one of the things that really helps or hinders is their home environment and their parents or their caregivers. Right?
Yep. Huge.
So
that's where I spend a lot of my time and energy.
Yeah. What are some ways that you see that parents, or I say parents or caregivers, right?
Yeah, I kind of interchange them. I mean, anyone who's caring for someone young, you know, right. I'm like, I don't care if you gave birth to them or not, or if that's like a thing for you. It doesn't matter. Who you care for is all that matters.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I have women and men in my life who I call like my moms or dads, and they are not biologically my parents, right? So we'll use the general term parents, but yeah, we do mean anybody who is caring for these kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how do these parents, you know, help or harm these kids in expressing, you know, their gender or expressing their queerness?
I think the harm gets talked about a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I'm gonna lean us towards some of the good that can come, because feel like that might be more fruitful. I'll briefly just touch on, I'm like, well, fine. So when it comes to harm, not accepting someone's identity, just like off the bat being like, that's not true, or that's not who you are, or, but you said this, like, that's not advisable. And then, I mean, from there, there's every kind of way in which parents can, I've worked with people who've been disowned, who've had to run away, who've, you know, not had access to family resources anymore. They've basically been kind of written off. So, I mean, there's so much harm. But when it comes to helping, listening is the number one thing, like just showing up. And I think asking questions with a humble curiosity, trusting that like, you don't need to know everything to be able to show up for someone. And I think that's hard for parents and caregivers. They feel like they need to have all the answers. And so sometimes they'll, you know, come at the young person with this like barrage of questions, and it's like, it's way too much. And, or there's so often the experience of like, well, this came out of nowhere. This can't be accurate. And it's like, well, it didn't come out of nowhere. Trust me. Like this, maybe it's taken, it feels like it's come out of nowhere, but it's probably taken the young person weeks, months, probably years, to come to a place where they felt like they could share that with you. So like thanking someone for that is a wonderful place to show support. And you can ask, when I say humble curiosity, I mean, like there are questions that are not so great to ask, like right off the bat, asking questions about medical interventions, surgeries, like what their plans are. None of that needs to be discussed. They're young. It's too soon. They're exploring their identity. Let that be. And instead, you can ask questions like, oh, you say you're pansexual. What does that mean to you? Like, can you help me understand more about what that looks like? To really show up with kind of an open willingness to have these conversations, and also naming like, there might be things that you don't want to share with me, and that's okay. And hopefully connecting them with someone with whom they can. Those are all good places to start.
Wow. Okay. So if anybody knows queer or gender non-conforming youth, I really need you to listen to the replay of this episode and write all of that down.
I also have a downloadable PDF guide to make it easier for you.
Perfect. Forethought.
I mean, I didn't make it just for this, but that would have been even more amazing. I was like, I came with a guide. but yeah, I mean, this is a question I get asked all the time. And there are ways that you can show up and do a good job of this. And I think a lot of parents want that. So often they're like, I really want to do the right thing, but I'm scared. I don't know what to say. And because they're scared of saying the wrong thing, they end up saying nothing at all. And then the kid might perceive that as like, oh, you're not comfortable with this, or we shouldn't talk about it, or something that's not actually the, yeah. So
right. There's the
communication is key, like everything.
Yeah, like everything.
You know,
let's talk about it. But I totally get that. And I think that anybody who would be asking these questions are obviously, you know, people who want the best for, you know, these kids, right? Yes. Whether they be your kids or not your kids, but the people who are seeking this information.
Yeah.
Obviously they're the people who want to be of help, right?
Absolutely.
And so, yeah. So definitely download the PDF for sure. I think you gave me the link to that. So I believe that is in the show notes. So that should awesome. Be, just an easy link on the show notes as well. We're going to go on another break. This was beautiful. And when we come back, I want to talk about what are some of the misconceptions. We kind of started hitting on that, like the thoughts that we have that, you know, we don't want to be a hindrance to helping, but are totally a hindrance to helping because they're misconceptions, they're myths, they're things that we just don't understand yet. And absolutely. So that's what beautiful. So that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. And so we'll be right back from our break.
Are you passionate about impacting social change or working towards anti-racism as a society? Are you willing to deconstruct your innermost thoughts, ideas, and beliefs about racism? Then Inflection Point Podcast, Cultivating Change from the Inside Out, is the show for you. Join Anita Russell, Mavis Bauman, and Gail Hunter in open, honest, and deliberate conversations every first and third Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Oh, self-care can be so much fun. And it's not just about bubble baths, but instead about prioritizing the wholeness of who you are without it taking a lot of time out of your day. I'm Claudia Sam, your Soul Connection coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. I invite you to put yourself at the top of the to-do list without guilt. Join me in the Soul Connector Circle community, Get daily pocket coaching and support to stay on track. Go to soulconnectorcircle.com and use the discount code RADIO.
Tune into the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and say yes to bringing prosperity and success to your future right here and right now. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is here to help you imagine it. Say goodbye to the strings of the past that have been holding you back for far too long. Rise up with Lolita and say yes to the solutions, prosperity, and unlimited possibility. Visit lifestrategymentor.com. That's lifestrategymentor.com.
Have you been on life's roller coaster trying to figure out what to do next? Then join Greta, Lee, Yvonne, and the Realm of Beings each Friday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shake the dust off your wings and fly to the highest heights in your thoughts and actions. Express your greatness. Be a champion for yourself. And we'll see you there on Shifting Impressions Conversations with the Realm of Beings.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show. We are here with Rebecca Miner, who is a gender specialist, and we've been having an incredible conversation about gender and specifically about youth, kids who are in the middle school, high school age range, and what they face, what they deal with, what they go through, and also their relationship with their parents. And parents meaning anyone who's taking care of them. And, you know, how can parents, you know, help or hinder? And Rebecca has an amazing resource for that, which is in the show notes. But where we left off the last time was, what are some of the misconceptions that parents have? You know, we were talking about, like, you know, parents want to be there and help and support their kids. You know, parents love their kids, but what are some of the misconceptions that parents have that get in the way of them being able to support them in this, you know, journey and their gender and their queerness?
Great question. So I think the first barrier is parents' own beliefs and understanding of their own identity, which is a tricky thing, because a lot of times when parents come to me, they're like, so the problem is with my kid. And I'm like, right, let's unpack your gender though. And they're like, no, that's not what I came for, you know? So but some of that work is really helpful to do upfront to get a better sense of, like, why do I have these deeply ingrained beliefs about what it means to be a woman, for example? I talk with a lot of moms who identify as feminists who really want to show up for their kid, but are also like, I'm feeling a weirdness around wanting, like, I had identified as a mom of a feminist daughter, and now she doesn't want to be my daughter anymore. So parents have a lot of their own beliefs and ideas that they've created, sometimes even pre-conception or birth, about what their future would look like. And so there are so many limiting beliefs around that, because of this idea that they've constructed. But also things like, you know, that someone has to medically transition to be trans, or that gender affirming care is irreversible. Those are some really big ones that people come in with. Like, they're like, oh, my kid wants to go for the surgery, and they're going to go on these hormones, and they're like, all these terrible things are going to happen. It's never going to be the same. And that's because they haven't had adequate access to information about what gender affirming care actually looks like. And that Some people only socially transition. Some people medically transition in a variety of ways. And, you know, everyone's transition is different, but parents get really caught up on some of those. I can keep going if you want, but I'll take questions.
It's so great because I feel like you kind of like wrangle yourself. You know, sometimes I like pause people or like I interrupt to like ask more questions and you're like, I would love another question. And I'm like, I love that. That's so great.
So glad. I need to learn to reel this in.
I get it. No, I think that, you know, one of the things that came to mind when you were sharing that is really, really beautiful, like the preconceived notions that you have, like even before your child is born. I mean, when we talk, like, I think in my social circle, people have been talking about what about having babies since I was a baby, you know, especially someone who's been socialized as female. Right. Absolutely. Socialized as a cisgendered woman, where it's just like from a very young, you know, we're playing with dolls, like we're, you know, when you get a husband, you know, when you
have babies,
when you do this, da, 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 like literally from birth and before birth, you know, and that's and we've all grown up that way. So I think really hitting home that this isn't just something where it's just like, oh yeah, well, it's just something that I just need to understand about my child, but really it's something that you need to understand about you and everything. And I think it's also like, I have the phrase, like, it starts with you.
Right.
It starts with you.
Yeah.
And it always starts with you.
Start noticing. Right. When it starts with you and you start doing some of that work and some of that unpacking, you'll walk into a store and be like, God, that's wild. We still divide toys in this way because toys are toys. But you might not have that thought until you start to unpack like how the binary limits all of us. And that like only saying, dictating which toys that include like spatial reasoning are for boys. Like, why are we doing that? And we're only like promoting nurturance and caretaking to children who we perceive to be female. Like,
right.
So yeah.
And so being able to unpack all of that.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I've had conversations, and I don't know if this is something that you notice as well, but it seems to be easier for people to digest, you know, if you are, you know, a trans man, for example, right? And so, but you, because you're still operating inside of the binary. It's like you were on one side of it, and now you're on the other side of it. Yes. And so, even if I don't agree,
you can see that as like a trade, right? It's like, oh, you've crossed over. Yes.
Right. So it's like, okay, I understand that, right? So, what are some of the kind of getting a little bit more nuanced here, what are some of the misconceptions that people or parents have when their kids aren't transitioning from like male to female or female to male, but rather they're, you know, non-binary, they're gender non-conforming?
Yes. Well, that is a challenge. Because it kind of much like you were just saying, people can kind of wrap their heads around the idea that this one thing isn't working for you, so you're going to do the other thing. Right. But the idea that it's not that straightforward and like a simple switch is hard for people to kind of make sense of. And I think especially it's a generational issue. So for my clients who are probably, you know, they're in middle school, early high school now, their parents are in their 40s and up. They did not have access to the internet in the same way that the generation, even 5-10 years after them, did. And I think that's made a dramatic difference in terms of people's awareness around gender and sexuality and that and ideas of about things like being non-binary, as even recognizing them as a possibility. So they're kind of steps ahead. So what I'm finding is generationally, it's harder for parents for whom they're very, very much stuck in the binary. And that's like all they've ever known. So the idea of diverting from that in some way is very either alarming, confusing, doesn't feel like legitimate enough in some way. Like I've had parents who were like, I just wish they'd make a choice, you know? And it's like, that's not how that works, but it makes sense. They're looking for something that fits into the framework that they have. So the struggle comes up a lot around pronouns, especially the gender neutral they, which is a singular pronoun. But again, that's a real sticking point, with a lot of folks where they're like, and I have clients who maybe use he, they, for example, but they only bothered to tell their parents about he, because they're like, they're never going to say they, they're going to screw it up. I'm going to feel misgendered and hurt. Like, so I just don't even bother. And that happens a lot in a lot of spaces for people who use the singular they. I think it just becomes too much emotional labor. So it's like, forget it. I'll just accept some other pronoun, which is really not okay. But yeah, the non-binary piece is definitely challenging for parents. I'm seeing progress and growth around that as there's more public conversation around some of these things. There's been more nuance that, you know, is coming up in conversation for folks. But oftentimes it's doing some psychoeducation around like, this does exist. This may be the space where they remain. Like, much like people would kind of be like, oh, someone's bi, that means they're like on their way, but they haven't accepted the fact that they're just gay. Like there's no possibility that you could be attracted to more than one gender. I feel like the same thing happens. Sometimes there are assumptions made around non-binary or genderqueer or gender non-conforming identities that like, this is an exploratory process and that they will eventually land still somewhere on the binary. And that's simply not the case. So there's some work to do there.
Yeah. And I think that in a lot of, you know, we could talk about gender, we could talk about, you know, inside of queerness, sexuality, relationship orientation, mm-hmm. where it really is like, we'll just choose one, just pick one or the other, or right. like if you are in limbo, eventually you will choose. So just right. let there's us know.
You will land. Yes.
Right. Let us know when that happens.
Tell us when you get there. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, you know, and I totally get how that's really difficult to deal with as a young person, where it's like, are you being actively, you know, like actively harmed in like a, you know, like a you're terrible, you're wrong sort of way? No. But are you being harmed and like you're not being affirmed? Yes.
Right. Right. And that's thank you for naming that, actually, because that's often the space where there's a lot of hurt. It's in those relational moments that are actually a lot more harmful than getting yelled at on the street or something, right? It's like when I feel like my mom doesn't see me.
Yeah.
That hurts in a totally different way.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's yeah. like, and it goes back to what you said at the very beginning, where it's like the, you know, suicide rate for trans youth is so much higher. I think you said 50%.
Four times. So it's four times the national average. That's reduced by half when there's family support.
Right. Exactly. And just those really simple things of just being like, hey, I believe you. I see you.
Yeah.
Like you are who you are and I love you.
Yeah. And like, we know there's research that supports that if a trans youth has one person, like no matter who in any role, one person in their life who affirms them and shows up for them, like the functioning just skyrockets. And they're 40% less likely to have a suicide attempt or thoughts even. Like we really, and so often I think people see that, like see the statistics and they're like, oh my God, that's so scary. The numbers are huge and they are scary.
Yeah.
And we need to focus also on the numbers that show us we have the capacity to make a huge impact if we show up for young people. Like these numbers are dramatically shifting when we do the right thing.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And really having that mindset shift of someone who does want to help to go from, wow, this is so much. How could I possibly make a difference? To, you absolutely can make a difference. All it takes is one person.
Yep.
All it takes is one person and you have made a difference. Now don't stop there, but like, but that's as easy as it can be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, and I think that's where the barrier is so many people are like, oh, but I'm scared. What if I do it wrong? And it's like, if you never like, you know, you got to get in the arena.
Yeah, exactly. And so when kids are, I think that we've kind of already answered this question, but it's just like, what happens? Like, I'll ask it in this way. I'll blossom it out a little bit.
Okay.
What's possible when kids are accepted by their parents?
Well, that's a beautiful question. What's possible? It's possible that kids get to live the fullness of what their young lives should look like, right? Like, it's possible that they get to, oh my God, I feel like I'm gonna cry.
You know, this is what I do best, is I make people cry in the best ways.
Well, so. It's so interesting. Usually I'm the one that makes people cry. So I'm like, wow, this is a lot. You're really, oh, okay. But it's just, that's a lovely, no one's ever asked me that question in that way. And I think that framing is the space I like to inhabit, that where I think the most change is possible, right? Rather than shaming people around what's not working, if we instead can kind of think about what is working. And, you know, you always talk about like, where is the love in it? And I think if we can focus from there, it's like, at the end of the day, the parents that I work with love their kid. And they just don't know all the time. They don't always know how to show up for them, but they want to. And so I think when we can give them the tools to have those conversations and some of the awareness, they're able to show up for their kid in the way that they want to, they feel good about themselves. And then the kid can become who they're meant to be without being hindered by all of the pain that really doesn't need to be a part of their growth process. Like, struggling should not be inherent to the trans narrative. I don't want us to only think about transness from a place of pain and suffering and negativity, right? Gender euphoria is a wonderful flip side of the conversation we always have about gender dysphoria. Mm-hmm. And so I think, what's possible is that we can we'll see trans kids turn into adults. That's what's possible.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
And then in trans kids turning into adult trans humans that then further representation and
exactly
more trans kids who are affirmed and more people get to learn. And it's just an expansion of what's possible. And it really does start with just affirming someone's identity.
Yeah. That's the generational change I'm here for.
I'm so here for that with you.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
Me too. I'm glad we're not doing this alone, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, my closing questions for my show, what does love mean to you?
Oh, that's a good question. You didn't send me that in advance.
I did not send that one in advance.
I'm like, I would have written something, but it's smart of you not to send it in advance. So, what does love mean? Zoe said, what does it love mean to me? I think love is, being known and knowing someone.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to leave it there before I just going to keep it short and sweet.
I love it. I think it's perfect. If you could have someone just have one takeaway from this show, from this episode specifically, not my show entirely, but from this episode specifically, just to be clear.
I'm like, that's too broad again.
What would the takeaway be that you would hope that people get?
I think the takeaway, maybe this is too many takeaways. I'm going to say it anyway, is gender affirming care is life-saving care. And that when we show up for trans youth, they can thrive.
Thank you. Beautiful. And what is one action that anybody could do, like today?
So easy. I made it so easy for you. Go to my website, genderspecialist.com. And there's a page there that's called Protect Trans Youth. It's genderspecialist.com/protecttransyouth. We'll put it in the notes. And I've literally outlined action steps that you can take, and you can do as many as you want. You can come back. I update it pretty consistently. So stay tuned, sign up for the mailing list. But the action, we need all the action help we can get right now. And there really are, like, these things do work when we sign the petitions and when we show up and when we throw money at some of these things, it does actually work. So please help.
Beautiful. Awesome. Yeah. And yeah, we will definitely put those in the notes. Absolutely. And what is, so we have a giveaway from you. I'm excited. Do you want to share about the giveaway?
Sure. So the giveaway is, I've never done a live giveaway. it's access to my course, How to Talk to Kids About Gender. And it's essentials for parents and caregivers. Frankly, I think anyone who cares about young people could take it. You don't have to be a parent to benefit from the resources in it. And I like to think that we're all paying enough attention that we're kind of collectively raising generations here. So I think anyone could be a caregiver. I just want to name that. So it's a course, it's asynchronous, it's on your own time, whenever works for you. But it helps to do that unpacking that you and I spent this episode talking about. Mm-hmm. And then provide some resources on how to then kind of implement those, have those conversations with young people so that you actually feel prepared when they have questions.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Yeah, no, that's huge. That is an awesome, awesome giveaway. So yeah, make sure that you call it. And there is, even though we can't see it, there is a number. There is a number that people can see.
I feel like I'm on American Idol when they're like, text, whatever. Now I'm showing my age. I'm like...
It's kind of like that. Doesn't that make you feel kind of cool and important?
It does. Yeah, it does.
call in. Call in. How it'll work is that you'll call in. You will talk to some of the wonderful folks at Transformation Talk Radio, and then we will get you connected to Rebecca. So that's how that will work. So go ahead and call in using the number on the screen, and you can get your spot in Rebecca's course. Again, you do, like she said, you do not have to be a parent. You can just be a caregiver, and that we're really all caregivers. And if you're someone who's really interested and wants to be a caring human for, you know, trans youth, non-binary youth, genderqueer youth, that this is an amazing way to help. And so brilliant. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I was like, sure, I'll give it away. Let's do a giveaway.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you so, so much for coming on the show today. It means so much to me to be able to have this conversation on my show because it is so important. It is a life-saving conversation. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I'm so glad.
All right. And to all of my wonderful listeners and viewers out there, I hope that you take on some of these things that Rebecca has talked about today. You can reach her at the places in which are on the show notes. We have all of her resources for you. So just go ahead and go down and click on that. And if you have any questions for me, there's also how to get a hold of me on there as well. I almost hit my microphone off of the table. We have a show every single Tuesday live at 3 p.m. You can tune into the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding in love, and have conversations around love, gender, sexuality, relationships, and all of the ways in which that we wish that we could be, but never thought were possible. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Rebecca. And I hope y'all just keep loving each other.
You have been listening to The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Tune in live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we shed light on relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. Learn to love yourself and create the relationships you want. Connect with me at ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. That's ElizabethAnnCunningham.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.